fine. Okay? It's still not exactly the way I want it, you know? Too much, taking too much room. I've been wanting to write a tract for a long time because a lot of tracts, when I read them, they don't say things the way I like it to be said. I'm kind of a, I have ways I like to say things and it seems to get people's attention, but I want to bring people to truth. What a tract is it's not a Bible, but it may contain verses out of the Bible. That's the ones that I want to write. That's why when you go to read this, because we just printed one up. All this red print in here are Bible verses, and on the back, Bible verses. And on the front is a picture. Does this picture look anything like that? It's a picture that my wife took of that, except for it didn't have the crown of thorns on it when she did, and she wants to put that on there. She wants to take another picture of it, and then she took it and she cropped everything. She did it on a computer. I don't know how to explain all that. But she even has the red coming down, the blood of Jesus. I love it. She's got the address and phone number on the back. But anyway, this is what I want to talk about this morning is a track, this message, and the message on it is, what do you believe about Jesus? What do you believe about Jesus? So what I want you to do is I want you to open your Bibles to John. Actually, why don't you open your Bibles? Everybody can find John. Why don't you open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 1, and we'll come back to John in just a second. But when you find Hebrews, then turn over to John chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, John chapter 1. I think this is going to be short this morning because I'm just going to read this sermon or this tract as I wrote it. And I think it's going to be short. I don't think I'm going to add too much to it. I'm trying to be honest. I'm trying to be honest here, okay? I want this to be clear. Clearly, what do you believe about Jesus? That is what this message is about. I really appreciate those testimonies. That was awesome. Linda, do you have one? Do you have one, or do you need to wake up first, or huh? Okay, that's fine. What do you believe about Jesus? What do you believe about Jesus? Many folks in America say they believe in Jesus, yet sin and wickedness are widespread in our land. What do we mean when we say that we believe in Jesus? What do we believe about Him? How does believing in Jesus affect our lives? See, nobody likes hypocrites. So let's look at what a true believer in the Bible believes about Jesus. If you're in John chapter 1, we're going to read verses 1 through 3 and then verse 14. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Jesus, point number one is, Jesus is God in the flesh. Jesus is God in the flesh. I'm not going to give you 20 or 50 verses that I could give you on that out of the Bible. I'm only going to give you just two passages. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Now look at verse 14. And the Word, you see that capital W word, just like in verse 1? And the Word, Jesus, was made flesh and dwelt among us, lived among us. And we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now turn over to Hebrews in chapter 1. Hebrews is right before the book of James, which is right before 1 John, which is right before Revelation. So if you were in Revelation and you just start going back toward the middle of the Bible, you'll come to 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, then you'll come to James, Peter, and then Peter, James, yeah. And then you come to Hebrews. Just trying to help. Sorry. Yeah. Or you could find a Bible that has these index, these little indented places, you know, and it'll help you to find your way around. Or you can just read it a number of times. to fight, it'll help you find your way through it. You know, we become, I love that story, Joy, because we become like what we associate with. And here's this little five-year-old who, when he's four, his parents meet Jesus. And now, because he's exposed to church and he's exposed to Jesus, he's got a call. Now, this little dude's 5 years old and he's already got a direction for his life, already knowing God's call in his life, already has the boldness of speaking out, already knowing the difference between what's right and wrong, and just when he's told what's right or wrong and he sees it, it's like it just jumps inside of him and he knows it and he agrees with truth and breaks agreement with things that even before he liked, like going trick-or-treating. But all of a sudden he sees that's wrong. But it's because of what he was associated with, what he was exposed to. Let's get exposed to Jesus. What do you believe about Jesus? Jesus is God in the flesh. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. And we're going to read verses 1 through 3. God, who at sundry times or different times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, God hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom, by His Son also, He made the worlds, who, Jesus, being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He, Jesus, had by Himself purged our sins, or taken care of our sins, He sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Jesus is God in the flesh. Jesus, look what it says. God spoke unto us by His Son. He made His Son heir of all things. By Jesus He made the worlds. The world was made by Jesus. Check that out. Okay? And then it says, He is the brightness of God's glory. He is the express image of His person. You want to know what God looks like? Look at Jesus. You want to know what God's like? Look at Jesus. He is the express image of His person. He is God in the flesh. God in the flesh. What do you believe about Jesus? I love it. And then it says, and I love that, when He had by Himself purged our sins. Jesus' name means Savior, Deliverer, one who sets another free. I just was doing a job for a man on Thursday down in Three Rivers. His name was Joshua. I said, do you know what your name means? He goes, no. I said, your name is the same as the name Jesus. It means, your name means Savior, Deliverer, one who sets another free. I said, that's what you have inside of you. You want to do that. You want to help others. You want to get them free. He was a social worker. I said, you want to do that, don't you? And he said, yes. I said, that's because that's what your name is. That's the call on your life. Okay? Now here's Jesus. He had by Himself purged our sins. You see, it's not Jesus plus what we do. Jesus took care of our sins all by Himself. Jesus died to pay for our sin. By Himself. I just think that's so awesome. Okay. Turn over to point number two is Jesus lived without sin. Turn to Hebrews chapter 4 and verses 14 and 15. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but Jesus was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Jesus never sinned. Hold your place and turn back to, let's see, do I want you to hold your place? Yeah. Turn back to Luke 23, or if you go back to John chapter 1, you only have to go back one page. Luke 23 and verses, we'll start with verse 4. Luke 23, verse 4. Y'all know who Pilate is? Pontius Pilate? He was the man that pronounced sentence on Jesus for him to be crucified. He had that power. He was a politician. He was in the government. And when they brought, then verse 4, then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, I find no fault in this man. When they brought Jesus to him and wanted him condemned, he said, I find no fault in this man. Look at verse 14. Then Pilate said unto them, ye have brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people. And behold, I, having examined him before you, have found no fault in this man, touching those things whereof you accuse him. Pilate had had him scourged, had had him beaten. Okay, Pilate had had him beaten, okay, to get the truth out of him. And then in verse 15, he says, no, nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him. The chief priest brought Jesus to Pilate. Pilate beat him, trying to get the truth out of him. Jesus, this is the truth. He couldn't beat it out of him. Okay? So then, Pilate said, okay, chief priest, because Jesus wouldn't confess anything but the truth. So then he sent him over to Herod. And the chief priest took Jesus in chains over to Herod, King Herod. And in verse 15, Pilate says, no, nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. Now look in verse 22. And he said unto them the third time, why? They kept saying, crucify him, crucify him. And he said, why? What evil hath he done? That's what I would ask you today. What do you believe about Jesus? What evil hath he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. Here's a man who said, I find no fault in this man. Here's a government leader who had not been exposed to Jesus before, but when he was exposed to Jesus, he kept repeatedly saying, I find no fault in this man. I want to let him go. The whole crowd is wanting, the religious leaders are jealous and they're wanting Jesus to be killed because he was stealing the crowds away from them. People were following him instead of following religion. I think that's amazing. They were following Jesus. They wanted a relationship with God more than they wanted religion. They could find life. Okay? They wanted life. They didn't just want, you know, it says, the letter killeth, but the spirit giveth life. In religion, they had the letter. But it wasn't, they were doing everything that religion was telling them, but it wasn't giving them life. But when Jesus spoke, even one of the soldiers came back and said, no man ever spake like this man. I love it. The people wanted him. So, the religious leaders wanted Jesus put to death. They didn't like him taking the people. So, Jesus is God in the flesh. Jesus lived without sin. And then, point number three. Jesus did not deserve to die. Romans chapter 6. Romans is right after Acts, right after John. John, Acts, Romans. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, for the wages of sin is death. We'll stop right there. For the wages of sin is death. Some people memorize that somewhere along the line. For the wages of sin is death. Now here's what I wrote. The payment of sin is death. Death means separation. There are two kinds of death. This is what's in the track. Physical and spiritual. The first death is separation of our soul from our body. The second is separation of our soul from God. With God is eternal life. Separation from God is eternal death. And you would find that in Revelation chapter 20, verses 14 and 15, and chapter 21, verse 8. And that's what it says. See those verses. We won't go there right now. Jesus did not deserve to die. He was the only man born who did not deserve to die. He never sinned. The payment for sin is death. Jesus never sinned. So He didn't deserve to die. Okay? Now, but Jesus did die on the cross as our substitute. Okay? Turn over to Hebrews. Remember I told you to hold your place in Hebrews? Go to chapter 2 in verse 9. Excuse me. Jesus died on the cross as our substitute to pay for each one of our sins. Jesus died on the cross as our substitute to pay for each one of our sins. Let's just get the points again. What do you believe about Jesus? The Bible says that He's God in the flesh. The Bible says that Jesus lived without sin. The Bible says that Jesus did not deserve to die. And then the Bible says that Jesus died on the cross as our substitute. And that's what we're going to look at right now. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. We see Jesus that He, by the grace of God, by the working of God, by the ability of God, He should taste death for every man. We see Jesus that He, by the working of God, should taste death for every man. Jesus died on the cross as our substitute. Turn over. Let's see, are we going to need to come back here? Nope. So turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You have John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. The fourth point is, Jesus died on the cross as our substitute. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also you are saved. He said, I'm preaching unto you the gospel, which you received, wherein you live, and by which you're saved. This is funny. I can read the words, but if I try to look at y'all, y'all all become real blurry. I don't like glasses. He says, verse 2, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. See, we need to give to others the same thing we received. And what's that? Jesus. My wife said to me, did you teach Glenn how to lead somebody to the Lord? I said, you can only give what you've received. And I said, and when Glenn was hanging out with me for a month, and he kept hearing me talk about Jesus or however, whatever happened somewhere along that line, Glenn accepted Christ as his Savior, and his life changed, and he goes, my word, he says, how come this took so long for me to get? He met Jesus. Well, now that he has Jesus, he starts talking to somebody who doesn't, and he can tell them what he has. He can tell them, and that's what we do. We talk about what we're full of. But you can't give away what you don't have. You can't give away what you don't have. But what's neat is, you don't have to have somebody teach you everything. All you got to do is just tell them what happened to you. I like that. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. Christ died on the cross as our substitute. Point number 5, Jesus loves each one of us. Turn to John chapter 3 and verse 16. John chapter 3 and verse 16. John 3:16. I love it. Different ones of y'all memorize this, huh? Good. For God so... Here's how the track reads. For God so loved the world. That's you. You are part of the world, aren't you? That He gave His only begotten Son. That's Jesus. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, spend eternity in hell, but have but have everlasting life with God forever in heaven. Turn to Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. I found another little error here, Sue. Just a word that shouldn't be capitalized here. Romans 5:8. Romans 5:8. But what's neat in this tract is, see, they don't have to turn anywhere. You know, it's all right here. You know, it's just real simple. Just read it, big print, red print is the Bible. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. I'll read it off the track. But God commendeth. That word commendeth means to show or to demonstrate. But God commendeth. God showed, God demonstrated His love toward us. In that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Isn't that neat? Jesus died for us. Now turn over to 1 Timothy. If you want to know where that is, it's right before 2 Timothy. Only kidding. Okay, you turn to, 1 Timothy is right after Thessalonians, which is right after Colossians. So you got like Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Thessalonians, Timothy. Okay? Just trying to help you. Because when I first got in church, the preacher kept saying, turn to such and such. By the time I found it, church was done. You know, I can remember that right at the beginning. It was like, I can't keep up with him, you know? And he kept saying, just like I'm doing, turn, 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 turn. I didn't know. So I had to go through and memorize all this stuff so I could follow and keep up with him. Because he wanted to take me to the Word of God. That's what I want to do with you. Take you to the Word of God. I don't want you putting all your hope and trust in my words. I'm just like anybody else. I'm fallible, okay? God is infallible. God is perfect. And I just want us to put our hope and trust in Him. These glasses. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10 says, for therefore we labor, and we both labor and suffer reproach, because, here's what's in the tract, we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially to those that believe. I want you to listen to what I wrote down with that on the tract. Once you start wearing these things, you have to keep wearing them. You know, everything gets real fuzzy when you pull them off, if you want to see, you know. When I look in the mirror, I should take them off, you know. But if you want to see, you need to, you know, keep them on. We trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. Now listen to this. Dear Holy Spirit, please quicken this in the hearts. Jesus is the Savior available to all people, but only applicable to those that believe that He died to pay for their sins because they need and want Him to be their Savior. Is that good? I think God gave me that one. I like that. He is the Savior available to all people, but only applicable to those that believe that He died to pay for their sins because they need and want Him to be their Savior. And then I have on this track, consider these questions. Number one, did you need Jesus to die for you? Why? I like it. Make people think. Did you need Jesus to die for you? Why? If people will consider this, so we need to pray over these tracts, even before we give them out, that they'll take and they'll allow God to search their hearts. They'll take time to think on these questions. Because if they do, that's what I have been doing as I've been... These came out of me witnessing. You understand? I mean, there's more tracks I'm going to write. This is just the first one. And when I talk to people, I like to ask people questions. And when I ask them questions, then God says, now, just be quiet. Ask them a question and then just be quiet. Let them think on that question. And then God begins working in their heart. See, salvation, being born again, is in the heart. You know what happens to your flesh when you get born again? Absolutely nothing. Okay? Nothing. If you only have one leg when you get born again, you still only have one leg after you're born again. If you're male before you get born again, you're male after you get born again. I know. It stays that way. Okay? What I'm trying to say to you is, Nothing happens to us. Being born again, Jesus said that you got to be born of the flesh and of the Spirit. When you're born of the flesh, that is your flesh becoming alive. And you become alive to things that are physical. Hear, taste, touch, smell, and seeing. But you're dead to the spiritual. That's the way most people are. Dead to the spiritual. They don't understand the spiritual. It's all just nebulous. It's all fuzzy. It's all mystical to them. That's why you could talk to them about any kind of religion, and they all think it sounds good, because they don't know. They're dead to the Spirit. They don't even know what's right and what's wrong. But when you are born again, you are born of the Spirit. It's not your flesh. It's your Spirit. And when you are born again, you become alive to the things of the Spirit. And all of a sudden, even if you're 5 years old, you can start understanding that witches are bad, bad, bad. And we need to stay away from witches. And no, no, no. I'm not even going to go out for candy because that's connected with the bad. You know? Now, what little kid doesn't like candy? You see what I'm saying? But here, that little boy was alive to the Spirit. And he's like, somebody needs to tell them. I need to tell them. Because he's alive to the Spirit and he recognizes the other spirit. He recognizes the Antichrist spirit. He recognizes the evil spirits. Let me just read these questions. But I want to give a little time as I read them. Did you need Jesus to die for you? And went in my notes, but she didn't have room on here. It says, did you need Jesus to die for you personally? Why? Do you need Jesus to be your Savior? Can you get to heaven without Him? Do you want Jesus now or your sin? Do you want to have fellowship with evil or with Jesus? What do you think you need to do to be saved, delivered? Now I have Isaiah 53, 10 and 11. When thou, you, because I have it in red and then I have a little black print, anything where I add to it, I put it in black print. Because the red print is from the Bible. When thou, you, shall make his soul, Christ's soul, an offering to God for your sin, he, the Father, shall see the travail of his soul, the suffering of Christ, and shall be satisfied. Then I have this verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 and 18a. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God. Remember, we started this off by saying, many folks in America say they believe in Jesus, yet sin and wickedness are widespread in our land. What do we mean when we say that we believe? What do we believe about Jesus? How does that belief affect our lives? That nobody likes hypocrites? On the back it's saying, therefore, if any man be in Christ. If you're in Christ, you're going to be a whole new creature. You'll be a whole new person. You know what? And then it's got our address and phone number on here. Sue has printed these up. We haven't still taken all the little bugs out because they're still. I'm real picky, and if I read something like this, like I'm reading this and it says John 3, she's already had to correct this thing so many times because I just have a hard time. Whenever I'd go to churches and I'd open a bulletin, you know what I'm talking about? The mistakes on a bulletin, every time, it's like they jumped out at me like they were red letters. I can't help it. When I open it, it's like all the mistakes jump out at me. I can see punctuation errors. I can see misspellings. I can see things that ought to be capitalized, things that aren't capitalized, you know, are and aren't that shouldn't be that way. I don't mean to. I try not to. I say, God, help me to not see this. But I can't help it. And there's people like me. In that regards, that have told me the same thing. They see those mistakes when they read a book or something. I see misprintings in books and newspapers and everything all the time. I know, he told me that. He showed me that. So we're printing, we're going to have these things printed up. We should have them available tonight or tomorrow night, whichever it is. Probably tonight. And then you could take these, if you want, and you could be able to give them to somebody. Somebody that you may be talking with about Jesus. Somebody you just want to just say, you know, you just say, God bless you or something, and hand them a tract. I mean, there could be, what? Yep. Yeah, if you're going to put a good tip in it, you know, not if you're putting change, but if you're going to put, yeah, if you're going to be cheap, don't put a tip, don't put a tract down. But if you're going to be generous, then put a tract down, because so many servers believe that Christians are like the worst people for them to wait on. Normally, they're rude, they're demanding, and then they're cheap. You know, they want to leave a tract and say that's their tip with a dollar on a $50 meal. That does not cut it. That's a bad testimony. Let's be generous. Let's be like God. Okay? But see, I used to be like that. I had a hard time. I did. I used to say, I can't give 15%. God only asked for 10%, you know? And I did. And Sue taught me this and said, you need to be generous. So like last night, like as a rule now, I give at least 20%, and normally, you know, I mean, if they're a bad waitress, then I might only give them 15%, you know. And then I leave them a note like, you know, you need some help. Or no, I don't do that. But, you know. Yeah, leave two tracks. read both of these twice. Got it. Two tracks. An old Pennsylvania joke. So anyway. What do you believe about Jesus? You know, I honestly believe, when we get to heaven, I believe God is going to ask us that question. And I could take you over to Matthew and show you where I got that idea. But I believe when we stand before God, He's going to ask us, what do you believe about Jesus? What do you believe about Jesus? Because it's Jesus. Jesus said, John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. They even named a street sign after him. It's called One Way. We can't get into heaven except through Jesus. So God's going to ask us, what did you do with Jesus? What do you believe about Jesus? I talk to people all the time and they tell me they believe in Jesus. But like when I start talking to them and then they're in full agreement with everything that's against God, then I say to them, so what is it you believe about Jesus? Because just because they believe in Jesus as a historical figure doesn't mean they're believing on Him as their Savior. It doesn't mean they're believing the truth. They only believe in Him. Some of them just believe in Him enough to wear a little cross on their neck or in their ear. You know? And that's why sometimes I ask people, you got a cross on your neck, but do you have a cross on your heart? Have you trusted in Christ as your Savior? Do you know Jesus personally? Or do you just know about Him? What do you believe about Jesus? I'm going to ask you, Joy, when you read this morning, did you like it?
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you to take this. I circled this, so perish in John 3:16 there. Capitalized. She's going to print these up, but we're done. We're done.